This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Make sure that you go to my Facebook page and like me, because then I will like you. And while you're there, if you have a suggestion about an author that you would like me to invite on Joy on Paper, I will be happy to do so. So just go to Facebook and push that like button, and that will help me here at Joy on Paper, because I have so many exciting guests coming up over the next few months, and I would really appreciate your help. Now, I have two wonderful guests today. At the bottom of the hour, I have a new author, and I was so taken with his book. I was so excited to have him on the program today. It's the release date for his book, and his name is Sam Bush, and the name of the book is, of course, it's All Systems Down, and it is a cyber war. I think the first in a series of books about cyber war, and Sam Bush is going to be talking about it. And I can tell you, that it took my breath away. I think that, you know, everybody should read this book, because it is sort of scary what he tells us about the whole grid system and everything that could happen here in a cyber war. And we are so dependent on our cell phones and our internet and everything. We would be in a big mess. And so Sam has written a really compelling book about it. I was so happy to read it. But first, I'm going to be talking to a fascinating woman who has written, written book. It actually is about her, and she is a character in the book. It is a graphic novel, a comic book style book done by National Geographic. And of course, National Geographic makes the most wonderful books. So I'm really always so happy when they send me a book. I love to review them. I love to read them. They have the best production value of any books that I ever get. They are always sleek and beautifully done, and books that will last a long time. And anybody would be happy to receive a National Geographic book as a gift, or to just keep it on their coffee table. And so I'm just waiting now. If in a few minutes I'm going to be talking to Dr. Bethany Elman, and this is a fascinating little book that she has come out with, and it comes just at, I think, the right time when we are all interested in space again, because, of course, it is so important that we, the United States, get back into the space race. We need to be up there in space, and it's so exciting. So I'm always happy to talk about science in general. I love science. And then I love this new book, which is called Dr. E Superstellar Solar System. And Dr. E, are you on the phone?
I am. You've got me on the phone.
Okay. Well, Dr. Bethany Elman, I should say. It's not everybody who gets to be a character in a book. And so pretty, too.
Yeah, it's thrilling. In real life, I'm a professor at Caltech and scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, but I've been sort of transformed into a comic book superhero, Dr. E, with a sidekick rover for the purposes of our book.
Well, it's adorable. The book, of course, always National Geographic does such wonderful books, and it certainly has come out at the right time when everybody is back in this enthusiastic mode about going into space after a SpaceX launch. That was exciting, huh?
That was pretty exciting. Yeah, big rocket and a new way to get to space for some exploration of the solar system.
So all of you scientists there were watching it and excited?
Yeah, we were. You know, I'm on travel right now for doing a planning meeting for the cameras for the next rover, and we paused for 5 minutes to watch the SpaceX launch.
Oh, so did I. I had to do it. I have been over there for space shuttle launches, which are so exciting. And I also, because I wrote a play based on a book by an astronaut, I was very lucky that I got a behind-the-scenes tour of Johnson Space Center in Houston. So I got to see all of that stuff, and it was really exciting. And I just love space in general. And this book is so wonderful. Of course, you are so cute in person, and then you are so cute in this book. Now, tell me, you know, the idea of this book, I think, of course, is to promote science and to promote an interest in science. So tell us a little bit about yourself, because you are quite an amazing woman, a Rhodes Scholar. And when did the science bug hit you?
Well, I think the science bug hit me early, and I never lost it. You know, I was one of those kids that was really curious about the world and how the natural world worked. I grew up in Tallahassee, Florida, actually, and we had, you know, in the woods behind my house, I was always, you know, watching the lizards, studying the trees, trying to figure out what was there, how it worked. We had a telescope in my family room that we'd sometimes take out on the porch and look at the stars. And then I always just enjoyed watching, you know, the nature shows on television, poring over books of maps and atlases about the world. And so I was curious, and I was really fortunate growing up to have good teachers who, you know, mentored and fostered my interest in science, supportive parents who wanted me to explore my curiosity. And then when I got to college, that's when I got exposed to the space side. I had a great mentor, worked in a laboratory about remote sensing, which is how you learn things when you can't touch the material, when it's only satellites. And so I tried to communicate now the excitement of what I do in the day-to-day, which is guide Mars rovers, look at data from NASA orbiter missions. I try to communicate that excitement in Dr. E's superstellar solar system for those kids who might be curious about what's out there.
Well, you certainly do. And so tell us about, I mean, you actually are the person, at least one of the people who moves the rover around Mars and
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it's so exciting. It's thrilling.
It's great. Well, I like to joke that as a scientist, I'm like the rover backseat driver. the engineers get to write the commanding to actually drive it, but the scientists are the ones that say, "Go over there to that particular rock, or drill that item on the surface." Yeah. So I'm one of several hundred scientists and engineers who work as part of NASA's Mars Curiosity rover mission at the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory. And we rotate through. We have shifts. And when I'm on shift, I'm in charge of organizing the science team for the day to develop a plan to send to Mars that will then be executed by the rover.
Well, just remind people, how long does it take to get from Earth to Mars?
Well, if you're traveling in a spacecraft right now at top speed, it takes about 7 months when the planets are as well aligned as they can be. And even though a radio signal, depending on exactly where Earth and Mars are relative to the sun, it can take between 5 and 25 minutes for even a radio signal traveling at the speed of light to get there.
Well, it's amazing. I just love it. And we've been getting so many gorgeous pictures from Mars lately. They are amazing.
That's right. The Curiosity rover is climbing Mount Sharp in Gale Crater. So we're getting higher and higher up. So our viewpoint is getting higher up in this stack of layered rocks that we're investigating to sort of unravel this little piece of Mars history.
Well, I think it's so delightful that you've done this book. And as I said, of course, being a National Geographic book, it wouldn't be one without wonderful photography and gorgeous charts and illustrations.
Yeah, so the way that we put together the book was to have like kind of different pieces to target, you know, kids or adults interested in different things. There are 10 chapters in the book, and each of them actually kicks off with kind of a graphic novel style comic of Dr. E and her sidekick Rover and some aspect of their solar system adventures. And then the meat of the chapter, about 6 to 8 pages, is about, you know, whatever the subject is. We kick off with a little overview of the solar system and how our solar system looks relative to solar systems we're starting to find and discover around other stars. But then after that, the chapters are by theme. So we have a chapter on craters. How do craters form? We have a chapter on volcanoes. How are volcanoes different on Earth versus Mars versus Io? How are storms different, as in another chapter, on Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Earth? So we jet around the solar system and explore the latest and greatest findings from NASA missions.
Now, of course, you've traveled to many places around the world to look at geological formations, right?
That's right, yeah. I'm a geologist, and so in addition to studying geology of other planets, we need to ground ourselves, so to speak, in the reality of what we have in front of us on Earth.
So what's the most exciting place that you've been?
Oh, there are so many amazing places on Earth to explore. But I guess if I had to say, so far, I think one of the most spectacular places I've been is Iceland. It's basically an island made from volcanoes, kind of like Hawaii, actually, but it's the colder version of it. So you can imagine it being a little bit more Mars-like. It's a land of volcanic lava flows, waterfalls, glaciers, underground hydrothermal systems feeding lakes and ponds. It's pretty spectacular. I encourage anyone who has an opportunity or can save up for a trip. It's a spectacular place.
Well, yes, I've heard from, I actually had a writer here who went to Iceland, and he just enjoyed, you know, went as a tourist and wrote a book about it, and it sounds fantastic.
Yeah, and there are a few places on Earth that just, like, provide little pieces of, like, what other planets might have been like, just not very, you know, in their past. And Iceland, Antarctica are some of those places, aspects of the desert southwest. So we geologists tend to go to these places to study how the processes work in order to understand them better on other planets. And we talk a little bit about this in Dr. E's Superstellar Solar System, drawing analogies between things kids might see in their everyday life and things they might see on TV from Earth, and how those relate to what we find in the solar system.
Now, one of the things I like in this, I like the little stories about the scientists. I think that's really fantastic. It really is encouraging to children, I think.
Yeah, so some of the side blurbs, we have some side blurbs that are like activities kids can do to follow up on like what we talk about in the book. And the other thing is we have bios of 10 scientists that are featured, equal number of men and women, to talk about the various paths that all of us have taken to become scientists and what we study and where we're from.
Well, you know, I know that you're really excited about this book because it turns you into a real superhero. And tell me, do you have that costume?
You know, I have been thinking that I think I don't need to think about what I'm going to be for Halloween.
I think you just have to have this. You'll be the hit wherever you go. And it's wonderful because it encourages children to study science. And that is so, so very important. It's a great future. And especially now that everybody is interested again in heading out to space. So I think this book is wonderful. And it's just... again, I want to thank National Geographic, and I want to thank you, Dr. Bethany Ellman, for being on Joy on Paper today, because I hope that children will take an interest and learn early in their lives that there's a potential great career for them and a fun career, right?
Indeed, yeah, and in Dr. E's Superstellar Solar System, it's available now, and for an affordable price between like $10, $12, we try to communicate, yeah, keep exploring. There are many things out there that are unknown, and the kids who read the book may be the next generation of scientists and engineers who find out the new discoveries about our solar system.
Okay, well, I know that you have to run, but I want to thank you again so much for being on the program today, and I want to... encourage everyone to get this beautiful, beautiful edition of the book everyone would just love to have it on their coffee table. And whenever something comes up on the news, you can pick it up and read more about the solar systems.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye now, Doctor. Dr. E, super stellar. And you are super stellar, Dr. E. Bye-bye now. Okay. Wow. This is a pretty book. I love all National Geographic books. And this one, if you have any child in your family would love it. It's a great gift. Wonderful, if you give... You should give books for every holiday, and Valentine's Day is coming up, and any kid would just love this book. And when you get it, you will see, as she said in the book, there are all sorts of activities that as a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle, you can do with the child to really bring the science to life. And I hope that you will... Go to my website, and I will have some more information about Dr. E. She is absolutely delightful, and it shows what you can do when you have a determination, because she certainly had to study a lot and learn a lot in order to become a Rhodes Scholar and to become, one of the people who controls the Mars rover. Now, I'm going to take a little commercial break, and then when I come back, I'm just going to have another guest. Okay, here we go.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-480-1941.
Support Joy on Paper and local authors. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code PATSY, P-A-T-Z-I.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z, and I am back, and I am just waiting for my next guest, and he should be on in a little while, Sam Bush, and then we will be talking about his new book. I think it might be his first book, but at least today is the release of his book, and we will be talking about that. Meanwhile, I want to remind everyone that next week I am going to have a very special guest, Taryn Fagerness. She has an agency that specializes in foreign rights. And so she's going to come on and explain to us some of the information that all of you independent authors need to know about how to get an agent interested in perhaps working with you to get your books published in a foreign language. And that is always a fun thing to do. I remember Clive Cussler was telling me one time that he, for many years, he would have all of the books that would all the languages that his books were translated in, and he had a big bookcase, one wall actually, with, you know, the number of books that he writes. But finally, it got too overwhelming because every book is translated now into like 35 languages. But it's fun, and I've always wondered what Sue Grafton and I were joking about. What in the world does you know, her books? Did her books look like in Bulgarian? So it's always funny to think of people in some of these countries reading books and wondering what is going on in America. So I'm looking forward to talking to Taryn next week. So I hope that if you have any questions, you can send them to me at patsy.radio@gmail.com, and I will ask her specifically your question about foreign rights. Which countries are worth it? Which countries like romance? Which countries like sci-fi? Because I think there are, you know, different countries like different types of books. So you might want to, you know, sort of specialize in that area. And I think they also, like many people in other countries, like to read books where they are their country is mentioned in the book. And I know that in France, Mary Higgins Clark is like one of the biggest sellers in France, and she always, of course, has romance in her books, and the French like that. And if you go to France to the bookstores, you'll always find a nice big display of Mary Higgins Clark. So authors can make a lot of money by having their books translated into other languages. And so we will talk to Taryn about that. Now, coming up over the next few months, I have some more great people coming on, and I will be letting you know about that. And meanwhile, I've been looking at some of the book deals. I mentioned before that if you are looking for an agent, you want to go to Publishers Weekly, or next week, starting next week, you can come to my website, and I will have a list of the agents who have just gotten deals for their clients, because those are always the best agents for you to use, or for you to try to contact, because they are eager and working hard to get contracts. So you want somebody who is really active, and that will be always something that you're looking for. Now, do you think we should have time? Ed, are you in there? Do we have time for a book buzz for Rita Moreau? Let's do one of Rita's number 14, okay? Perfect.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest from Book Buzz. Murder and Whistler is book 2 in the Northwest Cozy Mystery series by Diane Harmon. Here's the buzz. When Dee Dee and her boyfriend Jake head to Whistler, British Columbia, to see her sister Roz and enjoy a little downtime, the last thing they expect is to become involved in a murder. What makes it even worse is the person murdered is Dee Dee's former neighbor, Johnny Roberts. He was bigger than life, but did he have secrets? Who would want Johnny dead? Was it the man who years ago had tried to steal Johnny's wife, Cassie? Was it the sexy saleswoman in Johnny's car dealership who didn't care whether or not Johnny was married but wanted revenge when he rejected her? Was it his brother who resented Johnny for being the frugal administrator of his trust fund? Or could it even be the Mercer Island Golf Club pro who felt threatened by Johnny's golf game? Hey, grab Diane Harmon's entertaining cozy Murder and Whistler and join Dee Dee, Jake, their husky dogs, Balto and Yukon, and the Royal Canadian Mountain Police as they try to figure out who murdered Johnny Roberts and why. This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. For more of my suggestions on the mysteries you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joyonpaper.com. This is Rita Moreau buzzing off for now.
Oh, Okay, that was Rita Moreau, and Rita is just having so much fun doing these book buzzes because she is a connoisseur, like my sister Natalie, of cozy mysteries, and so it's always fun for her to find a new writer to bring to us, and she has, I think, a whole bunch of new ones coming up, and we're going to be having them over the next few weeks. If you are interested I have something exciting coming up for all of you. Donald Moss is going to be coming to town here in the Tampa area. So any one of my listeners who are in the Tampa area, I hope that you will attend Donald Moss' workshop. He has been on the program. He is one of the top agents in New York. And he, as a matter of fact, he's an agent for several of the authors who have been on my program. One of them is Nikki Drayden, who, as you know, she was on the program twice now because I discovered her actually when she was still writing just short stories. And shortly after that, she got a contract, thanks to Donald Moss, for a book and a very nice book deal. And I watched her over the year as she was working on it. And then finally, she got her deal. And now, you know, she's got a major book out there. And Donald Moss did it for her. So we're going to make sure that we'll try to get Donald Moss here in the studio when he comes in September. But I hope that you will all sign up for his workshop, and I will have information about that on my webpage on Monday. Now, meanwhile, you know, Ed in there in the control room, I don't know, maybe we should give him a call because we were a little bit this and that, confused. I have had so many emails from all of you people, and I really do appreciate it. I love it. And I have to go through all of them because, you know, I just got through with the whole bunch from, we had, you know, after Hurricane Irma, I had lots and lots of emails and it took me almost a month. I can't believe, you know, it was in October, but I'm only now catching up with everything. And so I hope that I didn't get this wrong because sometimes I hope that the, we get the people on the phone, but it takes time sometimes. And this is live radio, and that's the fun of doing this. You never know what's going to happen. So I hope that I will have Sam on soon. And I think Big Ed is in the control room looking, trying to get him on the line for me. Okay, well, what else? I'm going to be speaking at the St. Petersburg Library coming up in March, and that's going to be exciting. I always enjoy getting together with authors and to help them talk about their books and about the entire sort of world of publishing. So I'm hoping that I will have a nice turnout for that event. And I will, again, this is something we'll be talking about over the next few weeks, so you can plan the time and come down and meet me. And I will be giving out door prizes of books and other goodies so that we can get together and do some selfies and have some fun. And now, okay, we're very happy here. Are we very happy? Okay, Sam, are you there?
I sure am, Patsy.
Okay, and I pronounce it Bush.
That's right.
And although it's spelled B-O-U-S-H, but it's still Bush, right?
You got it.
Okay.
One of those names.
Okay. All right, Sam, it's so wonderful to talk to you about...
Well, it's great to be on your show.
You know, your book, All Systems Down, is scarier than a Stephen King book.
Well, that's high praise.
I mean, listen, this is something... It's so timely. Sometimes, you know... Somebody will come out with a book that is really just right on you know, the ball when it comes to events. And, whoa, this one is great. It was the first time, I think it's the first time that an author has really gotten me inside the mind of a North Korean, which is a little bit scary.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because when I, you know, when I first wrote it, I had publishers saying, "Can you change the antagonist to China or to some other international adversary?" You know, it's not believable that the North Koreans could have this kind of cyber power. And I was like, "Well, you know, I've done a lot of research. I'm the member of a lot of internet security groups, and I've read some books, and I mean, everything in here is exactly what they're trying to do, as far as, you know, the North Koreans working on cyber war technologies that can really take down infrastructure. So yeah, it's funny that now it's a plus that it's North Korea, because, you know, when I was first shopping this book around, that was not the case at all.
Well, I tell you, as I said, I don't think any other author has ever sort of gripped me with that, where I really felt like I was with the enemy for a while there. You know, this you did a great job in really capturing the voice of, you know, the people who really don't like us and really want to do harm to us.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I've never been to North Korea. I have a buddy who, while I was writing this, went to North Korea and came back, and I interrogated him. But no, I think, you know, it really comes down to research and getting an idea for, yeah, I mean, what probable threats there are through the North Koreans to our infrastructure through cyber war. And today is National Security Day, February 8th, which is why my book is launching today. Today is the day that it's out everywhere. You can get it. Try your local bookstore. Amazon, Powell's is a great place, Barnes & Noble, online. But National Security Day is today, and that's why my publisher chose today for the release.
Well, I think you should send this book as a gift to a few of our leaders. I really hope that people in Washington, D.C. get this book and start reading it, because it will open their eyes. There is so much that we need to do here to protect ourselves.
Yeah, I think the reality is that a lot of our leaders do know what's happening, and, you know, the senators who are on security councils, and maybe not the president, but certainly a lot of high up kind of wonks know already about the threats to national security. But yeah, it's well, thank you. I'm sure that it would be great to get that in the hands of some of those people.
Because I mean, I hope that, you know, you'll get a wide audience for this book, because what happens is we need to improve our infrastructure. We need to improve all of our systems. And I think this book will really help people understand it, because you've really created a, now I understand this is going to be a series, right?
That's right. Yeah, this is the first in the series.
Well, tell us about the characters that are in this, because you've really developed some interesting characters. You're a really fine writer. You bring the characters to life, and there aren't many books where the hero is a guy who was doing parking meters. So tell us where this came out and the idea of some of the characters.
Sure. Well, Brendan Chogan is the main character and probably the hero of the book. And he's a former parking meter attendant, but that really doesn't have a huge impact on the book. He's kind of a down on his luck, former collegiate boxer, sort of blue collar guy, and he's interviewing for jobs as a security guard at a robotics company. It's not going well, and that's when this robotics company starts getting hit by cryptic text messages. The internet goes down. He heads for the door and sees, among other things, banks closing and satellites falling from the sky. So yeah, he's a pretty good character, flawed, but a good character. Han Young Pak is the North Korean adversary. He's a hacker from Unit 101, which is a real unit in North Korea, and they do operate out of at least one Chinese hotel because the internet is way better in China. So he gets some good time. Kelly is probably Kelly Song is my favorite character. I think she's a lieutenant in the U.S. Navy, and the opening chapter, she and her Wizzo, which is a weapon system officer, are flying their Super Hornet when it, like much of everything else, is targeted and falls from the sky. And she's a really a salty character. I like her a lot because, you know, every scene that I wrote her in was just extremely easy to write.
Oh, yeah, she is a wonderful character. Now, my being married to a pilot and having been involved with a lot of pilots, and as I am doing a project for the F-105 Warriors, I love any book that has pilots in it. And boy, she is great. I read those scenes. I couldn't stop. I was so excited when I read scenes with Kelly.
Yeah, she's a spitfire for sure. But also a flawed character. Aren't we all?
Yeah, we are. Well, I think that's one of the things why I like the book so much. Your characters, well, like Brendan. You know, he's not a superhero. He's not a, you know, somebody who can do things, you know, that other people can't do, or he's not, you know, he's just a guy. But he has to face all of these problems, and he has to, of course, his biggest concern is his family, and you've drawn the entire family so nicely, and the people around. This is really, really good writing.
Well, thank you, Patsy. It was a lot of fun to write, and I'm working on the second one right now, which takes up right where the first one left off. I think I've been getting good reviews, and I do hope that the ball keeps rolling on this, because it's a lot of fun to do.
Well, it's a fun read, and an important one, because it is a subject that not enough people. It's sort of vaguely in their head that, oh, what would I do with all my cell phone? You know, like people go crazy, you know, if you're down for a few minutes. But to really understand that this kind of thing could happen, and we have to start really thinking about, you know, it's more than just hacking our bank accounts or our credit card things. There's some serious hacking going on out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's happening right now. Russia took out the banks and ATMs in Georgia. Iranian code has been found in our nuclear plants and our dams. The electric grid. I mean, I probably shouldn't even tell you about that. How?
Don't tell me that one. I don't want to know that one. That's why I said it was scary.
It's a real life event. Yeah, so it's happening.
You know, and the thing is, you know, I was reading the book. I said, well, I hope he doesn't give anybody ideas, but they've already had these ideas, so they're out there, and it's so hard. You know, isn't it terrible? We have come as human beings so far advanced that we can do all of this wonderful thing. We can do all this wonderful coding and write these programs, but then we have all of this negativity in human beings that we want to use it against each other. It's awful.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it just goes back to how the infrastructure that we've built this great modern society on wasn't really put in place to look after security. It was put in place to look after communication, you know, how to make communication really easy. And pretty soon we'll be all having refrigerators in our homes that, and this doesn't take place in the book. The book takes place in modern society, but, you know, we'll have self-driving cars and computer or computers in our refrigerators that tell us whether our food has gone bad. But that's all built kind of on the back of a system, the internet, that really has no intention, no original intention of being a secure network. It was a communications network. So the way it was built. It's problematic, and it's sad that, of course, that, you know, as humans, we want to hurt each other and, you know, cause problems for each other.
Well, you know, as an author, bringing forth a story like this, and it happens in many subjects, it's happened over the years that people aren't aware of problems, but a book, a novel can bring out the story, and you have done it so well in this book. Now, you said you had to shop this book around for a while?
Oh, yeah, I did shop it around for a little while. It wasn't too long.
I would think that they would grab it.
A couple months at it.
Okay.
So.
Okay, now did you go the agent route to send query letters, that type of thing?
No, I just went directly to publishers, and I had a couple of publishers kind of fighting for it at the end.
Well, that's always a nice position to be, because I as I said, this book, I like books where, first of all, it's a lot to learn in this book, a lot of things that, you know, even I didn't know about, you know, details of things. And so I love when I learn something in a book. And then I love when I'm able to connect to the characters and really care about them. Now, you know, as you have planned this, it's always a great idea if you planned it out as a series, so that you leave some strings to tie up on the next one and go on like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the book works fairly well too as a self-contained unit. You know, it was just so much fun. I don't really want to have it end. So, I mean, of course, you know, you can imagine that if not everything is rosy at the end of book one, and I'll try not to spoil anything, then you already have challenges set up for book two, which I think is fun. And I'm looking forward to writing that, and I'm actually not looking forward to it. I'm writing it right now. I'm looking forward to it being something, you know, really good.
Well, you know, it's always fun to find that joy on paper, and you obviously have, because one of the things that when you finally, in your mind, you come out with the characters that you can run with, that's an exciting time in your life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. The characters are fun, and, you know, and in book two, they introduced new ones that weren't in All Systems Down. They'll be in book two. Writing characters is one of the fun parts of writing. I mean, writing is a pleasure. It's something that you know, any other writers listening to this will know. It's horrible, terrible work sometimes. You're so frustrated, and sometimes it's just bliss, and you're in this place where you're just churning out chapters, and everything's coming together, and you have these, you know, wonderful aha moments, and then you read seven things, and you can put six of them in the right place, and everything kind of fits like a great puzzle. So characters are a joy.
And now, is this your first novel?
All Systems Down is the first novel that I've published. I have written when I was in my early 20s, I also wrote a book that will never see the light.
One of those in the bottom drawer type of books.
Right, exactly. I spent the last 6 years, I owned a marketing agency, I sold it, and then devoted myself to writing. I think actually as I've kind of done this more, I've realized that that's not terribly uncommon to see people who have, you know, who have had successful careers in one area that they've maybe burned out on, as I did, and moved into writing, which, you know, for me was always a passion. It was just not a passion that paid the bills. So, you know, it's nice to be in this phase of my life where you know, I can devote myself to writing right now.
And having been in marketing is a really great thing for a writer, because that's one of the most difficult things for any author today, even the ones who are published by the big publishing houses. They still have to market their books, and many writers just don't understand the marketing side of the publishing world. So I think that having done some marketing, you have a better insight into that.
I think that probably where it really helps is just my ability to, you know, to ask people for favors and to reach out to people. I think that that's something that all of us really struggle with, is to, you know, to try to get your book into the hands of someone like yourself, Patsy, and say, you know, this is good enough for your time. And I think that, you know, anyone listening who's either written something, or they have a work in progress, or they're shopping a book around, or trying to market it. I, my experience doesn't really translate over all that well to book publishing. I actually worked in marketing in book publishing for 4 years before I owned an agency. That helps a lot, but I think the key isn't if you've worked in marketing or not. I don't think that's really helped all that much. I think really, there's just one skill that I know of, and that's the ability to ask people and reach out.
And, well, but you have to come out with some good marketing ideas, too. And I think one of them is that you should go stand on the steps of Congress there and hand this book out and say, let's make sure that we take care of our infrastructure here in America so that we don't face any cyber wars in the future. And, I tell people, you know, like when I was mentioning to people about your book, they say, oh, well, it can't really happen. It's, you know, but it can happen. And so that's why I think this is an important book. I always like to have an author on who has a book that has a potential to make a difference in people's thinking. And this certainly does. And I think you've done just a wonderful job with it. You've made it a very sort of Tom Clancy. I think it's been compared to Tom Clancy. And that's not a bad comparison, because there are elements of it there. The science part and the, as I said, I love the Kelly, the pilot, because any book with pilots in it makes me happy. But you have done just a great job of pulling together a really interesting assortment of characters that makes I actually, when I started reading, I was reading like until 3 o'clock in the morning, and I said, this has to be really good to keep me up at 3 in the morning, since I wake up at 5 in the morning, you know. That's
Yeah.
And I'm saying to myself, I'm up at 3 in the morning, and, you know, I have to wake up in 2 hours. So I'm like, okay, I must really like this book. And it is really good. So, Sam, I think you've done a great job. And the book is called All Systems Down. Do you have a webpage that you want people to go to yet?
I do have a webpage, but, you know, I think that if I were to direct people, it's release day. I think, you know, go check it out on
Amazon,
Powell's,
and yeah,
Amazon,
all of
the Barnes and Noble.
Every place,
a lot of stuff there.
Every place where books are sold.
If you do want to read the first chapter is up on my website, which is CyberWarBooks, all one word, CyberWarBooks.com, and you can read the first chapter. But thanks, Patsy. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to talk to you, and All Systems Down was a lot of fun to write.
Well, I could feel that joy as I'm reading it. I'm saying, he's having fun writing this. He likes these characters and strong. To have a very strong female characters. It's always great, you know, when sometimes in these adventure books or thrillers, the women characters aren't very strong, but boy, we can't say that about your female characters. We have some tough female characters in there.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's always a challenge for every writer to write the opposite gender.
You got it.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Well, you know, we'll have you back on when the next book comes out. And meanwhile, everyone should get All Systems Down, Cyber Wars. It's a relevant book, a book that you really will enjoy and that you will learn something. And all I can say is that Sam Bush is a really great writer. So, Sam.
Thanks so much, Patsy.
Okay, Sam.
I really appreciate it.
Okay, Sam. Thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Wow. I couldn't stop reading the book. I got the book and I went to sleep because, you know, I'm up at 5 o'clock at least every morning. And so I went to bed. I started reading it and I went to sleep. Went to bed at like 11 o'clock. And then I got up and I said, no, I have to finish this book. I have to know what's going on. And so I got up and then I'm up until 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I realized, my goodness, it's 3. I have to get up at 5. And I sort of dozed off there for a little while. And then I was back up and I was up at 5, but now I'm a little dizzy. That was the other day. So I'm okay, but I still haven't caught up on my sleep. But anyway, so just go and get this. And his name is spelled Bush with an O, B-O-U-S-H, Sam Bush. I love the name Sam. My two favorite names are Sam and George. So go and get this book, and you will enjoy it. And meanwhile, again, I want to remind everyone that if you have a Valentine's gift that you want to buy somebody, everybody loves MyPillow, and the new promo thing is where you get two big pillows and you get two little pillows, and the price is excellent. You can keep the two smaller ones for yourself, and the two big ones you can put in the guest room or wherever, or send it out as a gift. And you still have time to order it for Valentine's Day, and it'll get there in time. And just use my promo code PATZI, because all of the other guys, you know, on radio that you hear using with their promo codes, they all have lots of money, and they can go without money for a little while from MyPillow if you will just use my promo code. And meanwhile, I just want to remind everyone, as Sam has discovered, there is so much joy in having your words on paper. And today was his release date, and so it was so exciting for him. And you, too, can do it. All you have to do is write a page a day, and if you are determined, by the end of the year, you, too, can have a book. And it might be on paper, or it might be an Audible version, which is really exciting. And then somebody, why not, might even buy it one day and turn it into a movie. But meanwhile, make sure that you say something nice to somebody today. It's a beautiful day here in Florida. We're back to our good weather, and everybody up north can keep their cold weather. We don't want it anymore. We love our nice warm weather here in Florida. And say something nice, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, so, so much for everything you do for me. And everybody, just enjoy today and be nice to somebody. It'll make you feel better, and it'll make them feel good, too. Bye-bye now.